Excellent. All right, my name is Kevin Hawkins. I'm from Optum. We're a wholly owned subsidiary of United Health Group, largest insurance company in the U.S. I don't see anyone I recognize in the audience, so I'm going to play fast and loose with some Vax. Okay. First of all, apparently I'm supposed to disclose that I have no financial relationship other than the people involved pay my salary to do this work, so I'm not exactly sure how that works. All right, Medicare fee-for-service. We're all familiar with Medicare, right? It's something you get when you turn 65 right now. It's for the aged and disabled. There's various different parts of it. However, we know that in the United States, about 75% of the members have Medicare fee-for-service coverage. Okay, we know that Medicare doesn't pay for everything. Roughly, they pay for 80% of what they pay for, and there's holes in what they don't pay for. Okay, to fill those holes, insurance companies offer Medigap insurance. The gap is to fill the gap in what they receive. I didn't used to have this slide early on, assuming everyone would know what Medigap was, but it came to turn out that a lot of people didn't know what Medigap was. People are familiar with Medicare. People are familiar with Medicare Advantage. You know, it's the HMO type style that does a similar thing, but not that many people are familiar with Medigap. Turns out about 9 million people purchased Medigap insurance in the U.S. United Healthcare underwrites a Medigap insurance policy, and it's endorsed by AARP. They used to be the American Association of Retired People. Now they're just AARP Inc. They're like everyone else. Branding is important to them. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. All right, so United is offering various health and wellness programs on a pilot level to these Medigap enrollees. Okay, what's sort of interesting is when people choose Medigap insurance, they're choosing an unmanaged product. If they wanted managed care, they would have chosen a Medicare Advantage plan. Okay. So what we're doing is we're trying to offer management to a group of people who already told us they're not really into management, okay? But from what we're seeing, that doesn't mean that there's not a need for that management, even though they purchased that insurance. Okay? All right, so here's a sample of what many of the programs look like. They're similar to many of the health and wellness programs out there. We mine claims data to find people with conditions or diseases or needs of interest. And we try to engage those individuals either telephonically or over the phone or via the mail. We try to intervene and close gaps in care. And those gaps in care could mean, they're not receiving their pharmacotherapy on time. They're not getting in to see their provider annually. They're not getting tests. At routine measures that they're supposed to get. So we try to help them close their gaps. There's also other gaps as far as they can't get transportation to the doctor or they can't afford their medications, and we help with those as well. The idea being if we can close those gaps, that'll increase their health and wellness, which will essentially cost us less money as an insurer on the back end. So it's hopefully a win-win proposition. So we coordinate the care, we monitor and report, and we evaluate. So what we want to talk about today is a high-risk case management program. Our high-risk case management program is essentially designed for the sickest of the sick. These are very sick individuals. They run about from $5,000 to $8,000 a month in Medicare expenditures. Okay? They often have multiple chronic conditions that are competing with one another. So I'm not going to go through all this, but essentially the way the program works is it's a voluntary program. We offer it to the members. They sign up. What usually happens is they talk to the nurse about once a month. Okay, the nurse essentially explores with questions and asks them how they're doing, asks them what their needs are, asks them what how they can help meet any unmet need in their healthcare lives. And then they work with especially back with their PCP, their primary care provider. All right, about this population, okay, in general, This sample is very, well, let's say relatively old. They're 78 years old. They're primarily female. Many have one or more hospitalizations in a year. 25% hospitalization rate is pretty high. That's an indicative of roughly how sick they are. And they run on average about $7,000 per month in expenditures. Some of these members also participate in a co-managed depression program. We know that depression is very comorbid with the sick and the elderly, so we also have that program as well. All right, so what we did is we've been evaluating this program year over year. So it started about 2 years ago. In order to further delineate how the program is working, we sort of break it down into the newly engaged versus the continuing engaged, because like any program, those that often come into the program are out of control when we first get them, or they're at most need for an intervention, and usually it takes a while for them to adjust or for us to get close some of their gaps and get them on a healthy path. So we essentially break individuals into the newly engaged, the continuing engaged. And then one of the things we're trying to evaluate is two things. One is, are we increasing their quality of care? And we measure that by closing their gaps. You know, are they getting proper pharmacotherapy? Hey, somebody's coming in. Are they getting annual office visits like they should? Are they getting their routine tests done? And then the other thing is we measure savings on the back end. And we measure savings by a typical difference in difference of design, where we measure the change in healthcare for those in the program, and we compare it to the change in healthcare for those eligible to be in the program but who don't participate. We do some fancy statistical modeling to remove case mix differences. All right, so we just covered this. Let's get to the more interesting stuff. All right, so roughly in our pilot market, we have about, I don't know, almost 7,000 individuals who are non-engaged and roughly about 1,200 that are engaged in the program. And you can see by this, it's sort of a half and half mix about who's continuing and who's newly engaged. All right, let's talk about the savings a little bit. So when we look at the evaluation of the program, what we're roughly seeing is that those newly engaged in the program are saving about 866 if we include outliers, or 261 if we exclude outliers. I generally only like to give one answer, so let's stick with excluding outliers for now. I don't want to go into what outliers are, because some would argue a lot of this population is an outlier. So roughly we're saving about $860 a month for those new to the program, and then we save about $281 for those that are continuing in the program. And these are monthly expenditures. We don't have it up here, but this program runs about $150 a month. Okay, so that if you do some ROI calculation, it's, I don't know, like a 5-to-1 ROI for the newly engaged, and it's about a 2-to-1 ROI for the continuing engaged. That's fairly impressive in a Medicare population. My company didn't want me to talk about cost, so they wouldn't let me put that on here. All right, one of the interesting things, if you look down at the pie shape at the bottom, is of those savings, 92% go to Medicare. Okay, that shouldn't be a surprise, because roughly they pay 80% of the bill, so they should get the lion's share of the savings. Most of the savings occur by keeping the members out of the ER and out of the inpatient setting. So it only makes sense that most of those savings go to Medicare. You notice a small percentage go to the Medigap insurance, and a small percent go to the insurers. Over to the side, we like to add all the savings up over the people, and that's how we get to those big numbers, like $9.2 million excluding outliers. This is fairly impressive in my book, because we know that Medicare inflation is running, I don't know, 5 to 10%, depending on who you talk to. There's been very few programs that have demonstrated an ability to bend that cost trend. Okay, this program has. These results aren't significant, statistically so I'll give you that. But for 3 years in a row now, we've trended where we've had positive savings year over year. Quality of care indicators, we had, what does it say here? We had like eight of them. 2 minutes, thanks. We've had eight of them that we were measuring. Essentially, five of them favored engagement. Not all of them were statistically significant. The same thing with EBM metrics. EBM metrics are sort of like HEDIS metrics. EBM stands for evidence-based medicine. It's did you get a beta blocker after your heart attack? Did you go to see your provider once a year? For each of these, we saw some quality improvements. So we're budging the quality needle, which in turn is moving the savings on the program for these individuals. So just a couple concluding marks. This is the first program that we've seen done on a Medigap insured population in a high-risk case management program. This evaluation is for the second year. We've already gotten results for the third year, and they look very similar. What we've seen is we've increased the quality of care by closing some gaps. Like I said, has moved the needle on savings. Although all of these results aren't statistically significant, that doesn't bother us too much. The main reason we don't see statistical significance has to do with the wide variation in the population that we're talking about, not so much with the power. Okay, individuals that average $7,000 a month, we see some of these individuals averaging $100,000 a month. So getting stable estimates is a concern of ours. Let's see. We are continuing to refine these programs and who we let in these programs, and we're actually improving the program with a feedback loop, and that's another discussion that we're going to have later on. And that's what this slide talks about. But let me open it up if there's any questions.
For the savings, they come in comparison to the non-engaged?
Exactly.
Per person?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what the intervention includes? What is the program?
What the intervention, it's essentially a nurse program where the nurse calls the member monthly. And talks about their needs. And in addition to that, there are face-to-face visits with a nurse. We send nurses out. There's mailings. And then there's also regularly scheduled PCP talks with the member's primary care physician to talk about what their gaps in care are.
On the average, how often did the care manager engage with
them? Once a month. That's in the contract.
One more question because we have to start the next.
AARP actually is paying for this program.
Okay, because I was curious if 92% of statements are going to Medicare, then it doesn't make a lot of sense for insurance to pay for it.
Well, it depends. That's an excellent question. One way to look at it is it could be a market differentiator. The other way to look at it is that some might say it's a demonstration project, so to speak, for CMS. Although it's not officially called that, they wouldn't mind taking the results to them and say, look, this is working well. Would you like to pay for it?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.